We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Let's pray. Father, as we come around your word, I ask you today, Lord, to help me to communicate this message that brings life. I thank you, Lord. People will meet you today as Lord and as Savior. Father, I thank you for a word that'll be in season. Give us ears to hear. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give someone a high five as you're being seated. Say to them, you have a different spirit. Come on, say to them, you've got a different spirit. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, you got a different spirit. I'm going to keep doing it until you do what I say. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, you've got a different spirit. There you go. It's not that hard, is it? I want to talk to you about a different spirit. Matter of fact, in our couple of weeks ago, I spoke this message at our Great Neck campus, and I really felt like it was a word that was in season for all of Wave Church. And so I've actually spoken it at several other campuses since then, but I want to speak part two today. And having remembered that message a few weeks ago on a different spirit, really felt like it was a real word from God. And so if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to get part one. But this is what we talked about, a different spirit, a people who are quick to lead. They're the first in. They're not waiting to see what everybody else does. Number two, a different spirit people aren't ruled by what's in front of them. The Bible says they crossed over Jordan when the land was in full flood. They weren't ruled by circumstances. A different spirit worships. And I was teaching the young people, we've got a new standard for what worship looks like in Wave Church. I implemented it at the youth camp, and this is what it looks like. Elbows above the ears. In other words, it's not like a little mercy worship with your hands kind of like here. It's elbows above the ears. Can everybody give it a shot? Elbows above. That's so much better than this, isn't it? Like, it's almost like that I'm worshiping you, but kind of not really. It's a bit like, it's like a Doris Day kind of Christian. You know what a Doris Day, you know, Doris Day kind of thinks like this. Well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours, you see. Que sera, sera. No, 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 no. I believe we're called to be Christians who are in love for God and not half-hearted. Come on, someone say amen. All right, a different spirit worships. I've got to get off this introduction. A different spirit has hope. A different spirit isn't ruled by fear. A different spirit praise. A different spirit is led by the Spirit. A different spirit is discerning. A different spirit has peace. And a different spirit has zeal. The Bible says, be very careful that you do not lose your fervent zeal. Yeah. Amen? Amen? The spirit of zeal. This is a song. The zeal of God, it hath consumed me. The Bible says in Psalm 69, verse 9, speaking prophetically of Jesus, and he goes, zeal for your house consumes me. Anybody know what it's like as a parent when you see that beautiful little baby child that is yours and you're just consumed by them? Just recently, we were just in Texas visiting with Thunder and our little grandson, who we'd like to see a lot more, but any chance we have, and we were visiting with him. And I tell you, that little kid just lights me up. He just makes me alive. I just want to eat him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's so adorable. And last night he was taken to ER with the temperature that they finally got down to 105.6. He had some sort of allergic reaction to something. He wasn't able to breathe. Paramedics had to come to the house. And I'm going to tell you, how many know when you love something and someone that much, it consumes me and it consumes you. I wonder whether we have that kind of zeal and whether we have that kind of passion for God and his house. I wonder, zeal for your house. It has eaten me up. Another translation says. I remember one day I said to our kids when they were little, I just want to eat you. I love you so much. And they looked at me horrified. And they said, but if you do that, you'll never see me again. I wasn't speaking literally, but anybody know what I'm talking about? Did anybody come into the house of God today with a zeal that has consumed you? Not just a little worship, but come on, elbows above the ears, a zeal, a love, a passion. Sometimes we get a little bit too casual. Well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours, you see. Que sera, sera. What a load of codswallop. There's a new word. How many have never heard of that word before? Okay, see, when you come to Wave Church, your IQ just goes up. You learned what a Doppler effect is, and now you're learning a new word. Praise the Lord. Come with me to founding scripture for this message. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. It says, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, and what they saw was a people who were indifferent to Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, set his eyes as flint toward the cross. And he was walking toward Jerusalem, and he knew that that would be the place where ultimately he would lay down his life. And so his eyes got fixed, and he knew that was his destiny and his purpose. The disciples didn't understand everything of who Jesus was and everything that Jesus did, but they saw something in him that they caught on to. And Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem, and the people are like, whatever, who's he? And the disciples were indignant. They themselves didn't understand everything that Jesus represented, but they knew this much: these people aren't deserving of you, Jesus. They're not showing the love and the enthusiasm and the appreciation. They don't realize that you're the Son of God. Right. And they're just there going, whatever. Bit like some of you doing right now what I'm preaching. What are you doing? I'm just doing to you what you're doing to me right now. Whatever. This is Wave Church. We love the Word of God. We respond to the Word of God. Come on, we're not just taking this moment casually. Time is too valuable. God's house is too important just to be sitting there going, what have you got for me today, preacher? Amen. We're people who are passionate about the house of God, the Word of God. The Bible says when Nehemiah opened the book, all the people stood up and said amen and amen. And they shouted with loud voices. And Nehemiah hadn't even read a single verse out of the Bible. Such was their love for God. Amen. Such was their love for the Word of God. And here are the disciples, they're mad. Jesus, they're showing indifference. You're casting your pearl before swine. So they said to the Lord, would you have us command fire to come from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and he rebuked them. They were rebuking the crowd, but Jesus rebuked them. And he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. They thought, we're going to do what Elijah did. These people aren't worthy to receive what you have and what you bring. And so we want to call down fire on them. Then maybe they'll understand who's in their midst. And they thought to themselves, Jesus will like this because he'll understand that whilst we don't understand everything who he is, we understand what he's bringing to these people. And maybe after this happens, they'll show more love. They'll show more appreciation. They'll have a bit more holy fear. And Jesus rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. I wonder if we know what manner of spirit we are of. Sometimes when we sit in judgment over something, sometimes when we sit in judgment over someone else, I just want to talk to us today about a different spirit. Here's a couple of thoughts I have. Number one, a different spirit is full on. Every say full on. Full on. A different spirit is full on. Numbers 14, verse 24. It says, because my servant Caleb had a different spirit. Come on, say different spirit. And followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to. Him and his descendants will inherit it. Do you know what? The way in which we inherit the promises of God, if we're wholehearted. I want to encourage you, don't be a Christian who is half-hearted. Don't be somebody who comes into the house of God going, well, I don't know, we'll just see what the preacher's got today. We'll see whether the music moves me. No, 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 no. I pray today that we're the kind of people that have got a different spirit. We come into the house of God and we're not waiting for the music to start to get us pumped up and fired up. We're here. We're on mission. We love God's house. Come on, somebody, full on. The Bible says that God did not withhold his son, his only son. How could we withhold our praises? How could we withhold? How could we just come in and just be, oh, yeah, whatever? Come on. A wholehearted person is somebody who will inherit the promises of God, the property and the land, the opportunities that God has for you. And it only comes by having a different spirit that's full on. Caleb had a different spirit. He whole wholeheartedly. Oh, let's just see if the weather's good. Let's just, what else is on? You hearing me? What's going on? Is there something else happening? No. You wholeheartedly. Let me just see. What's the trendy church to go to? What's the latest place to go to? Who's preaching somewhere? I'll go follow that. You can't build a church on nomadic Christians that follow things, that go after. Can I tell you, I believe Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I encourage you by being part of what he is building and being full on and wholeheartedly in the place where God has called you, where God has planted you? They're the kind of people that see the promises of God. They're the kind of people that receive an inheritance from the Lord. When you're wholeheartedly sold out, on fire for God, where your yes is yes and your no is no. Amen. James 1 verse 5. This is what the Bible says. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody ever lacked wisdom? Yes. If you didn't raise your hand, you just lacked it right there. Okay. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Isn't it good to know that if you ask God for something, that God does not go, well, no, I've still got a problem with what you did last week. God does not find fault. That whole divorce thing. You know, sorry, I'm not into you. God does not find fault. Amen. That which we ask God for help and grace and forgiveness on, he's forgiven. The Bible says God takes our sin and listen, he drops it into a sea of forgetfulness. That's not because God's got a bad memory. It's because he chooses to forget, because he's, by seeing past your worst, he brings out your best. And the Bible says God takes your sin and he throws it as far as the east is to the west. It'll never come back to you. God does not find fault. We get actually condemned ourselves. We remind ourselves of things that we did that God's already forgotten about, and therefore we disqualify ourselves from what God has for us. And I want to encourage you, come on, God does not find fault in you. He already judged you at the cross 2,000 years ago. He looks at you through Jesus colored glasses. You are forgiven. So when you ask God to help you in your marriage, when you ask God to help you in your business, God does not say, well, no, I'm not going to do it. He doesn't find fault. He gives generously. He's looking to bless you. He's looking to give you wisdom. But we remove ourselves from the answer by allowing ourselves to find fault. And the devil's good at it, isn't he? It says, but you must ask and you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. A person who doubts, a person who actually, now if you lack wisdom, ask. God will give it to you generously and he doesn't find fault, but don't doubt. Thank you, Lord, I lack wisdom. I thank you, Lord, you are the source of wisdom. And I ask you now for wisdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I receive the spirit of wisdom. By being in God's house regularly, your IQ is proven across the United States. People who go to church regularly, more than once a month, more than twice a month, more than three times a month. Regularly. The Bible, I mean, not the Bible, but it's proven through statistics that the average IQ of a committed Christian that goes to church regularly, their IQ is already higher than the national average of an American person. How's that? Because you're sitting under the teaching of the Word of God on a regular basis and you're hearing the wisdom of the Word of God, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You've already got a head start. Oh, come on, somebody. Full on. Full on. Not like whatever. Ask God. He'll give it to you. A double-minded man. Look at this last part of this verse. A double-minded man is unstable in everything they do. Do you realize that when you're double-minded, and as opposed to being full on, that actually it destabilizes your whole life? That actually that moment of indecision, especially when it comes to things that are really important, like spiritual matters, that moment of indecision actually destabilizes your entire life. I remember one time when Sharon and I were going out, and she decided that I wasn't full on, that I actually wasn't serious enough a Christian. So she said, we're not going out anymore. Now, the extent of our going out, I've got to give it in context, was me picking her up and taking her to youth group and taking her to Bible study. I mean, there was no, you know, when I say we're going out, there was no physical contact. She wasn't having any of that. She was just going, look, you can pick me up and take me to youth, you can take me to church. But the day she said to me, I just don't feel like you're full on. You don't even know whether this is your church. You're thinking maybe you should be in another church, and I will not go out with somebody who doesn't know where God's called them to be. And I know where I'm called to be. It's in this church. So if you want to go to another church, you go, but I ain't going anywhere, and I'm not giving my heart to someone whose heart is in another place. And I'm thinking, excuse me, Mother Teresa, who died and left you in charge? And that actually was one of the best things for me, because what it made me do was actually I was double-minded. I couldn't figure out which church I was supposed to be a part of. And to be honest with you, I was being manipulated by another leader who was trying to get me out of the church I was in. And he kept saying, you've got to be a witness first in Jerusalem, and your Jerusalem is your hometown, which is the city in which I was starting to go to that church as well. And I started thinking, well, maybe that's where I'm supposed to be. But then the youth leader explained to me, well, your spiritual Jerusalem is the place where you found Jesus. And that's your spiritual home, which is the church I got saved in. Yeah. And I realized, you know what? I just got to make my mind up. Yeah. And I looked at it and thought, well, this church has been around for a long time. This is Johnny come lately. Yeah. Right. You hearing me? And I went, this is where I met Jesus. Why? And I went, I'm making a decision. Best thing Sharon ever did. She also said to me, you listen to too much secular music. And I don't want to be with somebody who wasn't sold out for God. And I felt like, excuse me, Miss Goody Two Shoes. But you know what it did? It actually drove me to prayer. It drove me to make decisions about my life that I was unstable. And she didn't want to be with somebody who was indecisive. But then it turned around beautifully. Because after about 6 months, when I got myself settled and planted in the house that I believe God called me to be in, and I was established and I was praying, and I separated myself from the things of the world, and I went back to Sharon. I said, honey, I didn't call her honey. She wouldn't let me call her that. I said, Sharon, I'd love for us to go out again. She goes, no, once I've gone out with somebody and the relationship is over, I'll never go out with them again. Man, that girl's tough. So I started praying. And I could tell that in her heart, she still liked me, but in her head, she just wasn't willing to go there. And friends were encouraging her not to go there. One of her friends said to her, how could you go out with Steve when you don't relate to him at an intellectual level? You are so much smarter than him. Bless her with a brick. And yet the truth be told, she still is so much smarter than me, if the truth be told. She's got an IQ like you wouldn't believe. But I remember she had a great job. She worked in like a AAA car association company, and she was in charge of a whole lot of people, and every day she made hundreds of decisions. She was a supervisor. And this girl who can make hundreds of decisions, high IQ, suddenly couldn't make a decision about anything, because in her head she was saying no, but in her heart she was saying yes. And she cried out to God and said, God, for the first time in my life, I can't make a decision about anything. And the Lord, this is the true story, isn't it, hun? The Lord gave her this verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. And Sharon made the wisest decision. And Sharon said, amen. But I love the fact that it just shows how easy it is. When you're double-minded, your whole life can become unstable. But if you'll just make a decision, I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to love God. I'm going to give it everything. And I'm going to build what God is building. And if I put my time, my life, my effort, my family, my finances, my resources into building the one thing that hell won't prevail against, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going full on. Number two, a different spirit is anointed. 1 Samuel 10, look at this. It says, Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head. And he kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed? Everybody say anointed. Come on, every campus. I want LA. I want Wilson. I want Greenville. I want every campus. I want everyone to say anointed. Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? Look at verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with the other prophets, and you will be changed into a different man. You see, we're talking about a different spirit. And the Bible says that the anointing turns you into a different person. And I don't believe it turned you into a different person. There was anything wrong with who you were. But I believe it brings out of you everything that's gold within you. I believe it brings out of you who you all were destined and created to be. And all of a sudden, there's a difference because God has tapped into the true essence of who you are. He's brought out of you the deep things of God that God put inside of you. And now all of a sudden, those things come to the surface, that which nobody else saw. But God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outer. He looks at the inner. And when that anointing came on Saul, he was a different person. Now, I want to tell you, that anointing is so powerful. There's anybody want the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings out of you what's really in you? He was a different man. He walked different. He talked different. He was different because of the anointing of God that Samuel came. How many want to be a different man? Not different in the sense of just something wrong, but difference is so much more right. That everything that I felt like I was born for is now coming to a reality. Look at Acts 10 and verse 38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. God anointed Jesus. If God anointed Jesus, how many want God to anoint you? Yeah. You see, a different man makes you a different spirit makes you a different man. You become all that you are created to be. You ever felt like you're not living up to your potential? Do you ever feel like you're not living up to the fullness of what's inside of you? It's a different spirit. When you determine, I'm going to be full on and I want the anointing because it makes me different in Jesus' name. Amen? And this anointing abides. 1 John 2, look what it says in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. In other words, it won't leave you. It's not the Old Testament. It comes on and comes off. In the Old Testament, it was called Ichabod. See, you come to church, you're learning new words every week. Ichabod. Now, that was when a prophet would walk into a sanctuary, into a temple, into a church. And if God had left that church, the prophet would declare Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord is departed. But my friends, in the new covenant, this spirit that rests on you and on me is abiding. It will not leave you. The gift and the calling of God is without repentance. That anointing abides. Amen. Old covenant, on, off. Read your Bible, Old Testament. Spirit of God came on David from that day forward. Read your Bible. The Spirit of God left Samson from that day forward. But in the New Testament, we live in a covenant with better hope and better promises. And God is in you and God is with you. And God will never leave you. Over the years of pastor, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, the anointing's lifted. I go, my friend, you're in the wrong testament. You're reading the wrong part of the Bible. And I don't believe in throwing out the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. But when you start operating out of an Old Testament spirit, you don't understand that we actually live in a new covenant. Yes. Amen. And God doesn't, it's not that much of a razor's edge. Are you hearing me? That's what the disciples were doing. Do you want to call down fire? You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. This is new covenant. Amen. When people say things like God is judging the United States and that's why all these bad things happening, old covenant. You're showing your theological ignorance. You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. I'm not confused on these issues. I thank God that the anointing abides. Amen. Amen. Listen to that. I want to show you. How many want to see how Jesus was anointed? Do you want to see how he was anointed? Because maybe if that's how Jesus was anointed, maybe that's he'll anoint us. We're talking about having a different spirit. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. But about the Son, he says. Everybody say the Son. So he's talking about the Son of God, not the sun in the sky. The Son of God. About the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You, speaking of Jesus, the Son, have loved righteousness, watch this, and hated wickedness. Therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of joy. Catch this now. The premise, the foundation which Jesus was anointed was he loved righteousness and he hated sin. And if you want to know the anointing of God in a real, in a powerful, in a tangible, in an ongoing way, can I just tell you one of the greatest things you can do is say, God, help me love what you love and hate what you hate. And the Bible says God will anoint you. Even another translation says, above your companions with the oil of gladness. You show me somebody who loves what God loves and hates what God hates, and I'll show you somebody who's got joy. I'll show you somebody who's not confused. I'll show you somebody who's not double-minded. I'll show you somebody who's not compromising. I'll show you somebody who's got joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Because the basis in which Christ was anointed was to love what is right and hate sin. Amen. That's how we can say yes to God and all God's promises. And that's how we can say no to what the world says is right. See, Adam and Eve said, God, excuse me, I'm going to be a little bit crass, but God, Adam and Eve said, screw you. We're going to decide what's good and what's evil. God, we don't need you telling us what's right from wrong. We're going to make our own decisions. And we'll eat of the fruit of the tree because we'll decide what's good and what's wrong. And we look at America today and the mess and the confusion it is in with the breakdown of family and the confusion of sexual identity and the confusion about all these gender issues. And we go, how did we get here? It all goes back to man saying to God, I'll decide what's right for me and what's wrong for me. But you got to love what God loves and you got to hate what God hates. God does not hate people. Amen. We love people, but we actually are saying yes to God and no to the world. I mean, well, what about marijuana? What's wrong with marijuana? It's been legalized. Well, the Bible says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. You'll lack wisdom if you go down that road. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, what about abortion? Well, I can tell you now, it's wrong in the eyes of the Lord. There are circumstances where I, as a pastor, would help somebody through those situations and say to them, hey, you're free to choose. On certain extreme situations, I, as a pastor, would stand with somebody on sometimes some of those issues, but I would do everything I can to fight for the right of that baby. And when abortion becomes a means of contraception, my friends, it is evil in the eyes of the Lord in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen to that? You see, the anointing and gladness and joy comes from loving what is right and hating what God hates. Can you say amen? My time's up. I'll finish with a simple thought. Listen to this. A different spirit celebrates diversity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit that distributes them. I want you to catch this now. Careful. There are different kinds of gifts. Now, to put this in context, this is actually referring to the 9 manifestation gifts of the Spirit. This is the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. This is actually prophecy. One of the 9 gifts is prophecy. Then more gifts such as faith, healing, and miracles. These are the gifts that Paul is writing about. And then there's a word of wisdom, there's a word of knowledge, and there's a discerning of spirit. These are the 9 gifts that Paul talks about. Different. Everybody say different. They're all different. Everybody say different. Different gifts, but the same spirit. And see, if you want to be somebody who's got a different spirit, you got to know how to celebrate diversity. Different, but watch this, same spirit. Are you hearing me? How many know we're all different here this morning, but we have the same spirit? I guarantee you this morning, if I were to, you know, talk to, you know, people I was talking about in the earlier service, we had Professor Joe Umeni. And sitting next to him was Mark Hopkins. And I said, I guarantee you, if we sat down and had a conversation long enough, we would find that they maybe would have differing opinions of the interpretation of Scripture. Maybe Mark might be something about end times and his version of what that looks like compared to someone else's. But that doesn't mean we're not united. Actually, we can celebrate in our diversity. Different, but the same. Are you hearing me? Different, but the same. You see, a different spirit can celebrate diversity. One of the greatest challenges we face in the United States is we got this wrong understanding of what unity looks like. We all got to look the same and be the same and act the same and think the same and speak the same. And we all got to do the same thing. But no, if you understand, if you got a different spirit, you can celebrate diversity. You can thank God. Imagine this world. I put it in the natural sense. Imagine this world without a Mexican food. I mean, how boring would the world be without a good old-fashioned Tex-Mex? Or imagine this world with, I mean, in Australia, there's some of the best Asian food in the world is in Australia. And Australia is a great beneficiary to the Asian culture. And what it brings is just wonderful creativity and color and language and expression of culinary appreciation. And I want to tell you that He is our Father. He's not just my Father. He's not just your Father. He's our Father. In Africa, He's an African Father. In America, He's an American Father. In Asia, He's an Asian Father. In Ireland, He's the Irish Father. And if you cannot recognize a brother and a sister from another nation or another color or another creed, then you cannot know Him as our Father, because a different spirit celebrates diversity. Come on, somebody. He's our Father. He's not my Father. He's not your Father. He's not a rich man's Father. He's not a poor man's Father. He's our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the diversity of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the representation of the body of Christ. Come on, get on your feet and give God praise. Elbows above the ears in every campus. Come on, let's worship God. Full on, full on. In Jesus' name. Stay standing in every campus. Yongyi Cho is one of my great heroes. Pastored the largest church in the world. At his biggest numbers, from what I understand, close to 1 million people in his church. Has a building, I think, that sat 25,000 people. Can you imagine how many services that man had? And you know what he did? He's in South Korea, largest church in the world. And God speaks to him and says, now you're going to go and take this to Japan. And he gets to Japan and he stands before this great crowd of people. And the Japanese are excited because Yongyi Cho are Korean. Does anybody know anything about Japan and Korea? The hatred and the animosity they had toward each other. There was great resentments on what they did to each other in wars. They were cruel. They were cruel. I would not repeat the things that they would do. Not publicly. Not in church on a Sunday morning. But unimaginable, unthinkable, and perhaps in some people's minds, unforgivable. Yongyi Cho stood before this group of people in Japan, and they were so excited. The pastor of the longest church from Seoul, South Korea, has come to Japan to start a church. And he stood before them. And if God can use Yongyi Cho, and he stands before them and says, I have to admit, I stand here today and I'm here because God told me to do this. But I have to ask you to forgive me, for I have had nothing but hatred in my heart toward the Japanese culture. The things you did to my family and to our nation, I find incomprehensible. And I stand here before you today, and I don't even want to preach to you. Please forgive me. Pastored the largest church in the world, and yet God brought him to himself and said, come on, you're called to have a different spirit. And you'll never reach this world, the spirit that does not celebrate diversity. Can I tell you, if God can use him, who in that moment of time, let's be honest, had a racist attitude to another race, and yet God will always bring us to a place of helping us to be better and be different. And actually, it built on a wonderful bridge of healing is these Japanese people chose to forgive Cho and loved him and accepted him and forgave him of his unforgiveness and bitterness in Jesus' name. I'm just saying God can use all of us. God can use all of us. And I even believe today there are people here. Sometimes I think people, sometimes in America, I think Christians get shocked when they think God's not an American. Because your whole view of who God is out of the American context. But Jesus is Middle Eastern. Amen. He does not look like us. And he teaches us to pray, watch it, our Father. He's not a rich man's father. He's not a poor man's father. He's our Father. Amen. I really believe the Holy Spirit's on this point. And some people here today, you just got to let it go. You've been hurt. You've found it just so easy to hang on to unforgiveness. Why don't you be different? Why don't you have a different spirit? Amen. Different gifts, but the same spirit. Amen. I believe today there are people here, you've got to make a decision. I'm going to be full on. I'm just going to go after God with all my heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody say this, our Father. God, I ask, come on, everybody lift your hands. Father, I'm asking today, would we here in this meeting this morning just determine to have that different spirit? Help us, oh God, to be anointed. Help us to know that because of our anointing, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me. Lord, I'm asking for fresh anointing. I'm asking, oh God, for grace and the ability in this nation where it is so confused, that we, Father, would be different in your house and we'd bring healing to the disunity, that we would celebrate the diversity of who you are, the God and the maker of all people. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive it.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.